Tomorrow, March the 16th, is Palm Sunday and the Passion of our Lord. The Feast of Palm Sunday commemorates the last entry of Jesus into Jerusalem before his crucifixion, and it takes its name from the custom of blessing palms and of carrying portions of branches in procession. The practice recalls the biblical account of how people strewed palms in the path of Jesus as a sign of reverence as he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. But when did this custom first begin? What is its spiritual meaning? And how is Palm Sunday celebrated in different countries of the world? Well, to find out more, I spoke to Father Keith Peklers, an expert on the liturgy, at the Pontifical Gregorian University.
Well, of course, it inaugurates, it opens the celebration of Holy Week, the holiest of weeks in the Christian year. And it is quite an ancient feast, actually. It goes back to the 4th century in terms of the documentation we have on the origins of Palm Sunday.
And when the custom first began of celebrating Palm Sunday, it didn't necessarily start then, did it, the practice of blessing palms and carrying branches? Did that come later on?
That's right. We have the first documentation we have actually comes from a Spanish pilgrim, Egeria, at the end of the 4th century, who spoke about the gathering at the Mount of Olives, the Christians in Jerusalem, who would, in the late afternoon, meet at the Mount of Olives to read from the scriptures. And after that, they would process with palms into the city itself to continue their own worship and their own prayer. But what we know today as a formal ritual of blessing palms and that sort of thing, that comes actually later on in the 8th century.
And did it originate in Rome, as far as we know?
Well, actually, we have testimony in several places, in Spain, modern-day Spain, and in France, and also in Jerusalem itself. As always, the practice is somewhat varied because we have cultural differences that are present. For example, palm was not readily available in certain places, and therefore where palm branches were not available.
What other wood was mostly used in its place?
Well, for instance, in Germany, there were willow branches that were used. But basically, any form of green branch that would be available in a particular country was considered to be acceptable, to be useful for the actual procession with the branches.
I gather that some countries also called it Flower Sunday because there was this custom of blessing flowers and entwining them amongst the palms. Is that still practiced?
That's right. Well, as always, this is something that we find kind of the cultural differences that exist from place to place. In the Philippines, for example, not just Palm Sunday, but all of Holy Week is quite elaborately celebrated, and much would depend on what is available in the particular country. But there's also a dimension, kind of a magical dimension, to these branches that was common in the Middle Ages, where there was a certain association between, there was a belief that these particular branches had certain spiritual powers in themselves, which is actually how the tradition began of people bringing the branches home to keep during the year, oftentimes placed behind a crucifix.
I mean, in fact, palm branches have been used by all nations, haven't they, as an emblem of joy and victory over enemies.
That's right. The origins of the palm branches focus very much on joy, on life, on victory over death. But gradually, what happens is that these palm branches come to be associated with healing and with spiritual powers, and that spreads then through the Middle Ages and into the subsequent centuries.
And I gather also that the blessed palms are used to procure the ashes that are used on Ash Wednesday.
That's right. So again, there's a whole link. We speak of the liturgical year as cyclical, that you know, we begin, first Sunday of Advent, we speak of this whole journey, this movement, eschatologically speaking, moving towards the reign of God, the whole liturgical year essentially as a walking through our own salvation history. And we see that very clearly in the burning of palm branches the following year for the making of ashes to inaugurate the new season of Lent.
And sometimes the palms themselves are actually twisted into different shapes, aren't they? What kind of shapes?
Well, oftentimes you see it in many homes, people will make a cross. They'll use their palm branches to actually make a form of a cross and place that in the home. But that tradition, actually, of using palm branches and bringing them home and forming them into different shapes, that goes back to the middle of the 8th century and then expands from there.
And I read somewhere that in some countries or regions, the blessed palms are even used to decorate graves.
That's right. Basically, it's an object that's associated so deeply with the Christian spirituality, with the symbolism of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol that people hold very dearly because even those perhaps who... It's a time when people come back to church as well because they feel this connection even through the symbol of the palm branches. And we'll use them to decorate graves, to be revered in the home and in the coming year. And it becomes a reminder, at least ideally, a reminder of the call of the Christian to be with Christ throughout the year.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, there are cultural differences in how Palm Sunday is celebrated in countries throughout the world. Can you describe for our listeners one or two of the most colourful ceremonies for Palm Sunday that you've either come across either in person or read about?
Well, I've seen certainly in Jerusalem itself, I've been present there several occasions, the beginning of Holy Week. And there, of course, it's quite dramatic. It's dramatic, first of all, because of the whole tradition, the history of what we hold in common as Christians. And the walking through the streets of the old city with very large palm branches led by the patriarch with his assistants, but all the people following. So it's quite dramatic to be processing through the streets there in Jerusalem. But there are also very colorful processions in southern Spain, for example, part of the link to the confraternities in places like Granada and Seville, where, again, the streets are blocked off and the procession is not simply from one church to another in a very minimal way, but it's basically the whole city becomes a sacred space. And in fact, the streets are lined with palms as you proceed through, as the procession moves through the streets of the old town, whether it be in Granada or in Seville. And then, as well, there would be the Philippines, where you find not just the famous Good Friday processions and the Passion, the actual crucifixion, the flagellation,
yes.
But Holy Week itself is inaugurated with many towns and cities throughout the Philippines, very dramatically through a city being lined with palm branches and being carried in procession.
As a liturgist, can you now briefly run through the rituals of Palm Sunday? Let's begin, first of all, with the benediction of the palms.
Right. We really find it's the 8th century. It's the Missal of Bobbio in northern Italy that gives us the first information, really, the first liturgical information on this blessing of the palms. As always, the liturgical life of the church evolves gradually, and so too on Palm Sunday. It doesn't all happen at once. But we find first mention of Palm Sunday in the 4th century. Then at the beginning of the 7th century, we find mention of the importance of the blessing of palms. And then by the middle of the 8th century, this is much more elaborate and includes also a procession from one station to another station, from one church to another church. So since the middle of the 8th century, the Missal of Bobbio, we find reference to the blessing of palms and this gospel that is read of the palms, which essentially begins the solemn procession, the solemn initiation, the inauguration of Holy Week from one church to the designated church for the principal celebration of the Mass. And that remains the case today in the current Missal of Pope Paul VI. We actually, in many parishes, it's not possible to enact this in a very grand way because parishes are limited in the space that's available and that sort of thing. But ideally speaking, there is the first station where there is the greeting, the introduction, the reading of the gospel of the palms, the blessing of the palms, and then the celebrant of the Mass then says, "Let us proceed," and the procession then moves from that first station to the actual place where Mass is going to be celebrated. But as I mentioned, in many parishes it's not possible to do such a grand procession, and therefore it's maybe more limited just outside the church doors, moving into the church. But The idea, of course, is that each person holds their palm branches aloft as those branches are blessed, carry the branches then in procession to the place where Mass will be celebrated. And these branches are waved and carried as a sign of love and respect and devotion to Christ. It's essentially a way of bearing testimony to Christ, particularly if one is walking through the streets of a city like Rome or any city in procession with the clergy and the ministers vested in liturgical attire. It's quite a strong statement of belief and of testimony in the midst of secular society to actually carry those branches aloft and sing the classic hymn, All Glory, Lord and Honor, which actually dates back to the middle of the 8th century.
Coming to the Mass itself and the singing of the Passion, can you tell us something more about that?
Yes, again, very early on, certainly in the 8th century, there's a clear link between the celebration of Palm Sunday and what will happen on Good Friday in terms of the liturgical prayers, the liturgical, the texts, the readings.
So this linking has been there, right? Almost.
It's quite old. It's been there certainly since the medieval period, middle of the 8th century. And the idea is always, it's not to recreate or to reenact historically what happened, but the idea is rather to bear testimony in our own day to this fact. We do find, though, very much in the Middle Ages and beyond, that what catches on very quickly is a desire to incorporate drama into the Palm Sunday celebration and, in fact, into, you think of the mystery plays, but into Holy Week itself. So to try to reenact dramatically some of these processions entering into Jerusalem, for example, whether it be with children or with adults. And that kind of thing is very present in terms of popular religion, even in our own day, depending on the country one is in.
In which countries is it most
keenly? Well, for example, in Latin America, you find this quite commonly present in different Latin American countries, and not only in Latin America, some Asian countries as well, where the children are included very much in the procession, and they may be dressed in certain costumes, for example, that would resemble, ideally, figures from the gospel who are recorded, who are mentioned regarding this feast of this occasion, Palm Sunday. The idea is really to bear witness and to put into practice what we hold and what we believe about the faith, and particularly about the Passion, the suffering of Christ. The readings are very significant because the readings on Palm Sunday, the Philippians reading, speaks about Christ's obedience even unto death, death on the cross. So already from the very beginning, we have that link. The fact that we read the Passion not only on Good Friday but also on Palm Sunday is yet another example of the importance of this link. Palm Sunday is very much setting the stage for what will unfold during the Paschal Triduum, and that we very much see this as one piece. Significant that, you know, Palm Sunday, when you look at the Roman Missal, our own Missal today, it's Palm Sunday of the Passion of Christ. So in some context, it's referred to as Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday.
Often both.
But the idea is that it's both and. It's both Palm Sunday, commonly called, but perhaps even more importantly, Passion Sunday.
That was Father Keith Peckers of the Pontifical Gregorian University.